And Father, as we look at your word now, we pray that we would learn more of Jesus and his grace, what it means to walk in the kindness and love of Jesus towards us. May we be refreshed and convicted, comforted and directed by your Holy Spirit through your living and eternal word, we pray. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you could turn back to that reading from Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to be looking at three verses, verses 8 to 11. It's on page 1209. That's where we'll be spending our time this morning. I like the story about the minister and his young family who were out on a day trip, not far from home, and had failed to notice how low on fuel they were. On some B road somewhere, the impending disaster was noticed, and noticed too late, and before they could do anything, the car slowed to that sickening stop. Now, his wife, being a resourceful woman, noticed that they just passed a farm and wondered if the farmer could help. So they searched the boot. They didn't have much supplies with them, and the only container they could find was the baby's potty. So the minister trudged off to the farm and marvelously made it back with a full potty load of fuel plus funnel and started to fill up. Upon which, around the corner of the road, passed a neighbor who, recognizing the minister, turned to his wife and said, "Now that's faith." We're about to launch into another academic year as a church. And I don't think there has recently been, or will be in the next few years, a more significant year in our church life together than these coming 12 months. As many of you will know, Stuart referred to it earlier, Kensington Baptist Church has been for these last 9 years or so made up of three congregations that have met independently in the morning in Emerson's Green, BC3 in the city centre, and here in Easton. And in May of this year, the church membership took the decision with an overwhelming majority for these three congregations to start preparing for independency. In the next few years, we have faith that we will see Village and Easton and BC3 become three strong, stable, growing, independent churches. And so I thought it would be good for us this morning to think again about the nature of faith. Sophie and Paul have wonderfully demonstrated it to us this morning, haven't they? They wonderfully exampled it to us this morning. The nature of faith. What it means to have faith in God, in who he is, and what he is doing amongst us. And to do that, as I said, we're going to look at an individual in the Bible called Abraham, and we're going to use these verses from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 to 10 to guide us. Abraham described as the father of faith. Galatians chapter 3, verse 6, putting it like this: Abraham believed, had faith in God. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham, belong to Abraham's family tree. What then is faith? Okay, here's my working definition. Faith is the response to the call of God by trusting in the promise of his word in Christ. That's what I'm going to unpack this morning. Faith is the response to the call of God by trusting in the promise of his word in Christ. Do you remember the Sunday school little phrase? Forsaking all, I trust him. That's actually a really good description of faith. It expresses faith as well. Believing God and his promises to us and the certain fulfillment of those promises. That's the life of faith. And Abraham models exactly this to us. That's the amazing thing, isn't it? Old Testament character, before Jesus, he models to us this life of faith. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. Let's read these words together again. I'll read them to you. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, verse 9, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. What a wonderful picture of the life of faith. And we're going to see three things for ourselves and for us as a church this coming year. We're going to see the call of faith, how it begins, where it starts. We're going to see the promise of faith, what its substance is, what faith is made of. And finally, the perseverance of faith, how we keep going. The call, its beginning, faith is, promises, trusting in the promises of God, and the perseverance of faith to the end. Firstly, the call of faith. So look again at verse 8. This is how faith, brothers and sisters, begins. Verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Now here the call of faith begins. Margaret read it to us in Genesis chapter 12, didn't she? What happens to Abraham is an important reminder that faith, trust in God, in the first place, does not come from within us. It's not conjured up within us. It's not as though an individual or a group of people invent something to trust in, to put their faith in. The call comes from God. He is the author. He is the initiator of faith. That's what verse 8 says. Faith begins with God. He is the eternal, immortal, only wise God. All praise be to his glorious name this morning. He is the great I am, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is the God of all creation who reveals himself to us. It's what the writer of the Hebrews stated earlier in verse 3. Have a look at verse 3. Just have a look up the page there. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. God is. That's where we begin today, friends. God is gloriously powerful. He spoke and creation came into being from nothing. Faith begins with God. And he is the one who imparts faith. He calls by name. And when he calls, we respond. So when God called Abraham to go to a place, Abraham went. God's purposes stand sure. This is crucial for a right understanding of faith. It is the sovereign work of God from beginning to end. And what an important means of strengthening our faith. It's not a result. Faith is not down to our feelings, our emotions. Goodness, they ebb and flow, don't they? Our circumstances change. God and his person and work stands sure in time and eternity. He rules over all. And it is from the call of God that Abraham, we read in verse 8, obeyed. Look at verse 8. Obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. As Abraham hears the call of God, so God calls him, he responds with obedience, and it's radical obedience. He goes, doesn't he? How we need to pray for ourselves, for one another, for more radical faith. Abraham, we read, doesn't even know where he's going. So he's on his camel, right? The camel hump is in front of him, sat-nav. Reads Ur, okay, so that's the location, and he's got destination. You know, you type in destination, and he types in, don't know where I am going. And what's going to come up? Mileage, a long way. Time to destination, forever. That takes faith. Faith in the one who has called. Now, here's an illustration. Imagine I'm at home, and I'm upstairs, and Phoebe, my daughter, is downstairs. And I call to Phoebe, who's in the lounge, "Phoebes, come upstairs, I have something for you." Now for Phoebe, that call hasn't come from within herself. It's not her own doing, it's come from me, her father. And because I've called her by name, because I know her, she recognizes my voice and she puts her faith in me. And the proof of that faith is what? Obedience. She gets up and, listening to my voice, obedience is seen, and she comes out of the lounge and she starts towards the stairs, starts up the stairs. The life of faith started out exactly in the same way for us as that little illustration, and as it did for Abraham. We were once, if you believe and follow the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, He is your Savior and Lord. We were once foreigners to the covenants of the promise. We knew none of these promises of the Bible. We were without God. We did not know Him. We were without hope in the world. And then we heard the gospel call. We hear the good news of who Jesus is, His life and death and resurrection, Jesus' reign over this world. We hear His voice as the voice of a shepherd calling the sheep, and hearing, we obeyed, we believed. We believed in who Jesus is, and we obeyed, and that is what we have just sung. That well-known song, which a catchy tune, which we sing over so easy, we trusted and obeyed, for there's no other way. Yes. But remember, at faith's foundation is the call of God. Faith is not some hand-wringing, strength-making effort of ourselves. It's the arm-reaching, strength-depending work of God through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that brings us to Himself. Our faith is not tied on the intensity of our own strength and ability to believe, but on God and who He's doing for us in Jesus. Now, I beg you this morning not to sit there and say, well, I've never heard the call of God. I've never heard His voice. It's called a faith. So clearly I'm not called. I've not been granted faith. Please don't say that. Please don't play that kind of game with God. God is sovereign, yes. We've just seen that. We've just been explaining that. But we are responsible. Listen. Do you hear the call of God this morning? Because He is calling, the call to see who Jesus is, all that He has done, and to trust in Him, to put your faith in Him. God says to you this morning, friends, stop hesitating and excusing and delaying and trust in Jesus. Trust in Jesus Christ as your sin bearer. You know He died for your sins, and your rightful ruler. You know He's the Lord of your life. You know the truth of these words. Submit your heart and will to them today. And Christian, just like Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went. So look, let's be ready ourselves to discern the prompting of the Spirit and the possible changing circumstances of our lives, and to step out in faith. We're looking at ourselves here, a couple of hundred people, all kinds of situations, all kinds of concerns, personal, known to family, perhaps known to others, perhaps only known to yourself. Listen, by faith, believe that God loves you, is watching over you, is leading and guiding, and trust in Him. As a church, by faith, we believe that God is calling us, as BC3 and Village and this congregation, to stand on its own two feet. And we are being called to have faith in God as we move through that process together. We must pray for unity together, and wisdom and love towards one another, and compassion and gentleness, and pray for blessing, that God would work amazingly amongst us. We have such an opportunity over this coming year, together now as this little church family, to seek the Lord. prayerfully discern by faith where he is taking us, what he is calling us to, here in Easton, as a church family across Bristol. And as we move through this coming year, we must pray for faith in God and obedience. The God who is strong and mighty, the Lord of the ages, who holds all his little ones, including you and me, safe in his hands. Let's pray for sensitivity to the Spirit's leading and guiding. Let's pray for obedience as God calls and leads us on with himself. So, faith is initiated by God, his call. And when we hear it, we obey and we go wherever he calls us to. We trust in Christ. We live in him to the praise of his name. Now, secondly, look at the promise of faith. What's the substance? What's the substance of it? This call of faith that comes from God isn't some empty mystic call, kind of vacuous. It has substance to it. It is the revelation of God, who he is. And it's all bound up in what he has said. Our God is a speaking God. Hallelujah. And we have the promises of his word. We have the revelation of the word of God to us. And that is certainly what Abraham experienced. Look at verse 9. Look down at me with verse 9 or on the screen. By faith, Abraham made his home in the promised land. Like a stranger in a foreign country, he lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. Words are spoken by God to Abraham. Promises are made. The word of promise to Abraham was of the land of Canaan. This immense, large land. We see the remarkable nature of Abraham's faith in the word of promise, in what God has said here. We read that Abraham made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in what? Tents. That's how much he trusted in God's word. He laid hold of God's word. I promise to give you this land. Abraham goes and lives in it in a tent. Now, in my book, tents are pretty temporary efforts. Don't you think? There's no foundation to a tent. It never speaks of permanence. In fact, it's opposite. It speaks of impermanence. You can hardly say to own a land and kind of be making your way. Come and look at my property. I live in this tent. And you can hardly speak of the stability and stronghold of a tent. I'm putting roots down in my tent. As compared to, say, that of a city with walls and gates versus guide ropes and zips, all right? In the face of a roaring lion, or an army that is about to attack, where do you want to be? Do you want to be in a tent or a city? So what's going on here? What is the Hebrew writer speaking? By faith, Abraham makes his home in the promised land as someone in a tent. The answer is we're reminded of Abraham's faith in the word of God. Abraham took God at his word. He believed and trusted in what God had spoken, that what God had said he would do. He believed that God would give his offspring this land on which his flimsy tent stood. Remember what we said faith was? Faith is the response to the call of God by trusting in the promise of his word in Christ. Against all odds, against unbelieving circumstances, against all that could possibly be seen with the eyes, faith lays hold of God's promises and trusts and believes. So back to my daughter Phoebe. She's in the lounge at home. I'm upstairs. I've called down to Phoebe. Come upstairs. I promise something for you, Phoebes. Phoebes hears me call her by name. She recognizes my voice and she hears the promise of my word. And in faith, she starts up the stairs. And it's the promise of the word which has gripped Phoebe, which is in her head, which is causing her to keep going. She keeps that word as an encouragement. My Phoebe's is a bit of a chatterer. She talks quite a bit. She might repeat that promise quite a bit. My dad's promised to give me something as she climbs up the stairs. And brothers and sisters, it is no different with us. As the call of faith comes to each one of us, It is the promise of God's word that informs and shapes that call. For Abraham, it was the call to the promised land. For us, we hear the fullness of that promise in Jesus and his eternal kingdom. We hear the promise of peace with God, who made us, of forgiveness of sins through Jesus' death on the cross, of a new heaven and earth where peace and justice reign. And we stand as children of those promises in Jesus Christ. It is the word of God to us in Christ that we are to believe and depend and rely on and know and live in and walk in day by day. That word of promise, the gospel of Jesus to us, is the foundation. It is the bedrock of our faith. As children of the promise, we must be people of the word. You could tweet that. As children of the promise, we must be people of the word. The life of faith, out of necessity, is word-shaped. The life of faith without the word is like the life of a swimmer without water. It just doesn't make sense. As we hear the call of God, it is the word of his promises that enables us to persevere, to keep going. It is the word of promise that enables us to make sense of our life and our circumstances. It is the word of his promise that will keep us as a congregation through all the changes now as we prepare for independency. What will Village and BC3 becoming independent mean for us? What will it mean for ministry and mission here? What will it mean for our life together? There are so many questions. Think of your individual lives as friendships, work situations, as children start school. Think of future plans, trials and hardships. Think about moving. Some people moving from Bristol, from this place in the coming weeks and months. Listen, by faith, we know that God is working all things for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose, Romans 8:28. By faith, we know that God will never leave us or forsake us, so that we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6. By faith, we know that we have been appointed to bear fruit that will last, John 15, verse 6. By faith, we know that greater is he who is in us than he that is in the world, 1 John chapter 4, verse 5. By faith, we know that he who began a good work in us will carried on to completion until the day of Christ. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6. And the promise of God's word keeps us even when everything around us might be screaming the opposite. Even when our circumstances are full of trials, when we're out of our depths, when there's despair because of an email or a phone call, the situation with a family member. Here's a confession. I was speaking with someone this week in my room, and I promise you I was concentrating. I was listening to what they were having to say. But I turned to my computer just to get something for that individual. And as I did that, I noticed there and then an email had come in with bad news. It was bad news. Right there at that point is an opportunity for faith in God. Simon Price is naturally prone to doubt, to zone out of that conversation, literally stop listening, and to stare at the screen in angst and worry and figure, what the world is coming down, what am I going to do? But Abraham this morning calls me to faith, to trust in God's word. As the children of the promise, we are to be people of the word, just as Abraham models to us. He heard God's promise. He believed, he stood on it. Let's live lives that are soaked and saturated in the word of God, shall we? Let's grow in that in this coming year. Let's read and study and speak and sing and pray and memorize and teach and open and counsel and love and point each other to what God has promised us. Our loving God, our gracious God, to what he has promised us in Jesus Christ. And as we do that, let's remember that it's not about the intensity or the consistency or the purity of our faith. My faith is fragile and weak and poor. Poor and needy. No, it's about the object of our faith, of looking to Jesus and trusting in him. Let's cling to Jesus in his word, rejoicing in him, and as a result, persevering to the end. Because that's the last thing we see. The call of faith begins with God, calls us to himself. The promise of faith, his word, what God has said, and finally the perseverance of faith. What's the main point about faith that the writer to the Hebrews, all 13 chapters, what's the main point he wants you to grasp? Okay? I'm saying to you is this. It's the fact that faith is future orientated. Faith is largely future orientated. So before launching into this famous chapter, chapter 11, the hall of faith, look at what he says at the end of chapter 10 in verse 35. I put this on the screen. It'd be much better if you just looked at it in your Bibles. But look at chapter 10, verse 35, just before this chapter begins. He says, "So do not, Hebrews, throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised." Here's his arguments. "For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. And, but my righteous one will live by faith. And I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved." Chapter 11, verse 1. "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." Many of the promises of God we receive now. The forgiveness of sins, the joy of the Holy Spirit, starts bearing the fruit of the Spirit, the life of love for Jesus and of service for him. But many promises lie in the future. As those verses in chapter 10 describe, in Jesus' return, in seeing him face to face, in receiving eternal life, in new bodies and sin and suffering being removed. All that awaits in the future. And that is exactly what Abraham saw. Look at verse 11, chapter 11, verse 10. The last part of our little section we're looking at. Abraham was looking forward to the city without foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Ultimately, Abraham was looking to an eternal city, designed and built by God. That's how future-orientated his faith was. He was looking way beyond his generation and the next generations and those who would live in the promised land. Look at verse 16 of chapter 11. "Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them." This teaches us that true faith, faith that has heard the call of God, believes the promises of his word, perseveres to the end. It fixes its eyes on Jesus till the race is finished, till the work is done. We walk by faith and not by sight. We are heading to that heavenly reward. So think of my Phoebe, right? She's heard the call. She believes the promise. "Phoebes, I want to be with you. I want to see you. I have something for you." And she starts up the stairs. Now, Phoebes, see her up there, has not got the strongest of muscles, okay? Stairs are actually difficult for her. And she can be prone to give up. "Oh, the stairs are too steep. Time out." But with my call and the promise of my word, she perseveres. She keeps going. She's obedient. Even when things are hard and tired and she's difficult, even when there's things to be distracted by, she might take a few steps back down the stairs. Who knows? I'm in the Christian life. I certainly do. Prone to wander. But Phoebe makes it up the stairs and she sees the results of her call and she receives what was promised. She gains the reward through perseverance. Do you know what, brothers and sisters? What a privilege it's been for me just over the past few days to witness perseverance faith. Just on Thursday and Friday, I found myself in the most difficult of circumstances, grieving, broken with people who in the midst of trials and difficulties are persevering through faith. Sophie stood here this morning, and what a beautiful picture that was of persevering by faith in Jesus Christ. We want to persevere as a church. Life together is not easy. We are a large mixed many different types of people going through changes as a family of God's people. We need one another now more than ever to persevere, to draw together, to lay hold of God's promises and be all that He is calling us to be here at Easton. It's the call of perseverance of faith. When the future looks very uncertain, we're unsure how things will work out in the coming months and years. It's the call of perseverance of faith in all of life. And we want to encourage one another with these words. And we need in our day and age, in our culture, to encourage one another with this call to perseverance. A few years ago, I read these words by John Piper, writing about our culture. And they smacked me between the ears. They sounded true of my life, true of my generation, true of my culture. This is what John Piper had to say. He said, one of the pervasive marks of our times in the Christian church is emotional fragility. I feel as though it hangs in the air we breathe. We are easily hurt. We pout and mope easily. We break easily. Our marriages break easily. Our faith breaks easily. Our happiness breaks easily. And our commitment to church breaks easily. We are easily disheartened, and it seems we have little capacity for surviving and thriving in the face of criticism and opposition. That sounds so close to my heart. Abraham's faithful life as a nomad in a tent in the promised land, looking forward to the city, that eternal city, models perseverance to the very end. A perseverance that's based on the call of God and the promise of His word. So there we have it. Brothers and sisters, just that. Abraham's life as a picture of the Christian life of faith. We too have heard the call of God, haven't we? We have the promises of His word to us in Jesus. How sweet they are. Let us persevere. Let's stand on these promises. Let's commit ourselves and one another as we sing of them. Now, in the closing moments of our service, have a look at these words that we're about to sing. By faith, our fathers roamed the earth with the power of His promise in their hearts, of a holy city built by God's own hand, a place where peace and justice reign. That's where we're heading. That's what God is doing now amongst us. We will stand as children of the promise. We will fix our eyes on Him, our soul's reward, till the race is finished and the work is done. Easton, let's walk by faith and not by sight.